Attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Ask Florida law attorney. With Attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Hey, do you have a legal question, a legal problem, something bothering you? Maybe you couldn't sleep very well last night, just worried about something. Hey, I'm here for the next hour to help you. From 8 to 9 every Saturday morning, we come in and answer legal questions. Main purpose is to help you as much as I can, either by listening or calling in and asking a question. Your question can be just about anything. If I know the answer, I'll be glad to share it with you. And if I don't know, we get you some help, and I usually have some resources where I can help you right here on the air today. So you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Your question can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys. Can be about family law, personal injury, real estate transactions. This is Saturday morning, May the 11th. And we're here doing a live radio show. You're listening on multiple stations all over Florida. We're broadcasting today from Tampa, which is 570-910, 860-930 are the numbers. And if you are listening in Central Florida, it's 90.3 FM. That's Landmark Baptist Church owns that station, Landmark's Voice of Faith. You might be listening in Sun City Center. That's 96.3 FM. That's a community station there in Sun City Center. In Jacksonville, you might be listening to WBOB, and that's 600 AM on the dial and 101.1 FM on the dial in Jacksonville. Also, in Pasco County, we're broadcasting today as well. Stations go up to Trinity. All over Florida. So if you are listening to Ask an Attorney, no matter where you are, and even if you're listening on your computer somewhere in the United States, or sometimes we've had calls from outside the country as well, you have a toll-free number, 877, and phone lines are open, always like that first call, 877-943-9673, 877-943-9673, phone lines are open. So a lot of our calls on the show concern estate planning, which is one of our primary practice areas. And it's just amazing. People come in all the time, and they want me to review documents they've tried to do themselves online. And I can tell you, rarely do I find documents that somebody has tried to do themselves online that really work, that there's not some mistake being made. We had a client this week from California who had an attorney in California do their documents, and they're moving to Florida. Well, California is a community property state. Florida is a common law state. The big differences on spousal rights and ownership in the differences in the two states. So most of the time what we do is a restatement. A restatement is just a document where you restate the trust so you don't have to change the ownership of the assets in the trust. So you wind up with a new Florida trust, but you use the same old date so you don't have to register new assets to the trust. A lot of out-of-state wills, people come in with a will from another state, and they do a Florida will, and they need to know that those documents can be easily changed. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. You have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. And again, your question can be just about any area of law. And more than glad to help you in any way I possibly can. How often should your documents be reviewed? Well, about every 3 or 4 years is our general rule of thumb. And we do have a call coming in now. We'll get to that in just a second. So how often should documents be reviewed? They should be reviewed every 3 or 4 years. And a lot of times the power of attorney, health care, surrogate living wills are documents that should be reviewed because a lot of banks and financial people tend not to want to honor them. And then you are in a little bit of a fight. Sometimes you have to have an attorney to force them to honor them. It's easier, by far, I think, just to update the documents and have a current date on them. And that way they are more readily accepted. You don't have to spend a lot of time in a fight trying to get someone to accept them. So our general rule is we send out letters to our clients every 3 or 4 years suggesting a review or an update. Wills and trusts generally don't need to be updated that often unless you, the maker of the document, the creator of the document, want to update to make a change in trustees or beneficiaries and so forth. Life changes, and sometimes you want to change how you treat your beneficiaries. A lot of times people treat them equally, and other times they want to treat them a little bit differently. Let's go to Otto in Crystal River.
Yes, I wanted to ask a question about, when you go in a hospital or whatever, and you end up with Mercer and several more surgeries, if there's any course action to that.
Well, it depends on if the hospital was negligent in the way they took care of you and whether they could have prevented or whether they caused whatever happened to you there in the hospital.
Oh, okay. How do you go about that?
Well, generally you would get another doctor. You would find another doctor that would be a witness for you to be able to state that they were negligent in the way they cared for you. They didn't do something in the proper format, and whatever they didn't do for you caused the circumstance that you're in now.
Okay.
So, and then a lot of attorneys don't take medical malpractice cases unless they're for sure they can win those. Mm-hmm. Because if you take an action and you lose, you wind up paying all of the expenses on the other side.
Right.
So if you have some condition caused that you think the hospital caused it or didn't prevent it properly, then you go to a medical malpractice attorney, and then the medical malpractice attorney will decide whether or not they have a case. And they don't take the cases unless they're pretty sure they're going to win.
Oh, okay. That sounds like a winner.
All right.
I appreciate that very much, sir.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. You have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. You know, concerning the estate planning, suppose you have real estate in other states. Suppose you have even a timeshare in another state. And suppose in this hypothetical situation you die. Well, what happens? Well, real estate is one of those things that's probated no matter where it's situated. So if you die with real estate in multiple states, guess what? You're going to have multiple probates. If you have multiple probates, that means you have multiple attorneys in multiple states. And the probate fees are different from state to state. In Florida, it's generally a 3% fee, 3% of the value of the assets. And so the personal representative's entitled to a 3% fee, and the attorney's entitled to a 3% fee. So, for example, if you have a $500,000 probate estate, there could be 6% in fees. And 6%, of course, it's a lot of money to spend on probate when you can avoid that with a living trust. Let's go to Ron in Lakeland. Hey, Ron.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. And you?
Great. I'm super. I have a question regarding the credit reporting agencies and what liability they have for reporting extraneous, undocumented, unsubstantiated information.
Well, I think they'd be liable if it's totally false. I mean, and it depends on where they get the source from.
What about their algorithms? Is there any attempt? The reason I say this is because one of the credit reporting agencies completely just makes it up as they go along. In other words, I've had a case where they drop the credit score by 24, 56, 33 points for no other reason than a, you know, a statement in specific.
Is this one of the major three?
Yes.
And are their numbers quite different from the other two numbers?
Yes. Completely different. Completely different. But the problem is in that the recourse that we have is minimal because all of their outcall are on foreign soil, which is another major issue. The folks that you contact are in the Philippines or Mumbai, so on and so forth, which is really a substantial risk to all of the sensitive American information being breached. And when you talk to them in specific, they don't have any responsibility and authority to do anything other than explain what they're doing, which is kind of nebulous.
Yeah, right? You know, I don't experience that myself because all three of my numbers are pretty close, and I haven't had any problems with them. But I can tell you that if you do have a problem with them, the best way to deal with it is not verbal on the phone, is to send certified letters demanding to be corrected within a certain amount of time, or you'll hold them liable.
Yeah.
And then once you've done the most you can do yourself without a good result, you have an attorney help you.
Well, here's my recourse, and I think that people ought to be aware of this. I've done in the past...
All right, so I'm going to give you about another 30 seconds to tell us what
to
do.
Okay, what I've done in the past is just say this. Attorneys have told me that, you know, to do the research and so on and so forth is going to cost a huge amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
So I enlist the Federal Trade Commission, the state attorney generals, and the FBI to do in the investigation work. And then if there's a liability from their standpoint, based upon their information and investigation, then I basically take it to an attorney and pursue a suit, utilizing the federal agencies and state agencies to do the investigation as to whether or not they're in compliance.
And whether they accept the fact to try to help you with it, you know, is that would be up in the air as to what probability they would be to do that. I guess.
Well, that's easy because all you have to do is call your congressman.
All right. Well, good luck with all that.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. Let's go to Steve in Seminole. Steve, are you there?
Yes. Hey, Joe. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good. From Seminole, and I'm trying to figure some court action in Pinellas County on a real estate question for you, Joe.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Joe, I have a fiance. We dated for 2 years. I own a condo in Seminole. And we bought a house together in St. Petersburg a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she moved into that. I remained in the condo with the plans of possibly getting married in the future. Some things have changed, and we're now sort of trying to reconcile. There's maybe a breakup there and all. But I contributed $5,000 for the house. It's with Wells Fargo, the mortgage. And she contributed $8,000. But she wouldn't qualify. She's just on Social Security, and I have an excellent credit background. I have a pension, Social Security, and an annuity. But I'm trying to get out of this real estate deal and see if I can recover my $5,000 back and get my name off the mortgage. Any suggestions? And I do want to let you know, Joe, I'm meeting with attorney Joseph Murphy Monday down here at Lodochin on Seminole Boulevard, but I'm just trying to get an opinion, and what type of court do we go through on that? If you can give me any advice, I'd appreciate it very much, sir.
Yeah, well, since you haven't really met with him yet, I guess I can, being represented by an attorney, it'd be unethical for me to try to jump in the middle and contact you, but, all right, so both, or try to help answer your question. So, you're on the deed now?
Yes, sir. And Joe, I could give you one other little advice. His paralegal, when I talked to her yesterday, she mentioned parchment as a possibility.
Partition sale.
Partition sale, yes, sir.
Yeah. That's
What's
definitely
that all about?
Well, that's when one party wants to sell and the other party doesn't, so you can force the sale. That's basically called a partition sale.
Does that go through a court, sir, and a judge?
Yeah, that's a court action. That's an adverse court action where you're basically suing to make that happen. And
Is that
getting
family?
Getting a court order to issue an order that the property must be sold.
Okay, and I have a real estate agent with Berkshire Hathaway that's willing to do this, market it, and sell it.
Mm-hmm.
What court is that? Is that family court, Joe, or another court, civil court in Pinellas County?
Yeah, it'd just be the circuit court.
Circuit court, yes, sir.
So that would be one choice. The easiest thing to do is to, does she know you're going to an attorney? And, you know, if she knows that, why would she want to be involved in a lawsuit when she can just settle up with you?
Well, that's what we're trying to work out, and right now she's somewhat uncooperative. I'll mm-hmm. put it like that. And
well, sometimes it takes legal action to get people to cooperate. So,
yes, sir. Yes,
all right.
Sir.
Well, go ahead and meet with the attorney. That's a good firm. I'm sure they can help you with and come up with the best decision for you.
Yes, Joe. Thank you very much, and best of luck to you. You guys are great.
Thank you. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. The phones are open. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. It's so I had some interesting clients this week concerning probate come in. One gentleman died, and he was in this housing situation where his car was. So the family comes in and gives me the car keys because I happen to be the personal representative in this particular estate. And so I send someone out to get the car to bring it to my office because we need to sell the car. And basically it had a lock on the steering wheel. So we fumbled around because it looked like for a while we were going to have to saw the lock off. You know, get a generator out by the car and get a big-time saw that goes through metal to take off this steering wheel. I was given a bag of keys. None of them really looked like they were going to work, but fortunately one of them did. So we were able to get the lock off the steering wheel and get the car to my office parking lot so we can sell the car. So, you know, it's very, very important to get organized in your estate plan, get organized with a list of assets, get organized with where things are. A lot of people die and a family can't even find the will or trust that they did because the person never told them to. So it's really good to get your finances organized, to get your estate planning documents, your important papers organized, to make a list of passwords. I mean, that can be a horrible thing to deal with in estates when you're trying to close down social media accounts. The person's deceased and nobody knows what their passwords are or how to access some of the accounts. Sometimes their phones are locked. Can't get into their phone. You can't get into the computer because they have a lock on that. Or that's password driven. So it's very, very important to make a list of all of your passwords. Hey, if you have a legal question, 877 is the toll-free number. 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. And we're about a third of the way through the show. And we'd love to have your question, and your question does help a lot of other people that might be listening. So, suppose you have a deed. You know, deed, how you own things is very important. Because people call all the time and they want to know that they're jointly on a deed with someone, and they want to know what happens when the person dies. Well, you could be jointly on a deed with multiple types of ownership. You could be just two names on a deed with no magic words behind that. That's called tenants in common. If the words jointly with right of survivorship are on the deed, then it would automatically go to the survivor. If it's tenants in common, then each own one half. So there are multiple ways, and how you own things is very, very important as to what happens to them. I had a brother call me, and his brother had died, and I did his papers back in 2012. And he's calling me wanting to know if I hold the original documents. Well, I don't. And he's asking me what his brother's assets are. And I said, well, I haven't seen him since 2012. I'm not going to know the answer to that question. So what you need to do is to get the mail diverted to you. Go look through his house and see if you can find papers. And then maybe we can come up with some answers on what you have to do next. All right, if you have a legal question, the law office is open. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. It's May the 11th, 2019. And if you have a problem of some sort, it doesn't even have to be a legal question. It can just be a problem. More than glad to try to help you. You have a toll-free number to call the show, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. One of the questions I got this week was the couple came in that did a joint living trust. Now they're going through a divorce, and they want to know what happens to the trust. Well, generally during the course of divorce, you each would wind up with the estate, so they would be individually held as opposed to jointly held. So then you each would need to create a trust if you still wanted to do a trust. So you empty out the joint trust and you create separate trust. And then you each have your own plan of what you want to do with the assets. Any provision that you would make to a spouse once a divorce, that provision in an estate planning document is null and void. Power of attorneys now become null and void if you've named a spouse. You can redo the document after the divorce and name a spouse, and that would be fine. But if you name them as a personal representative, executor, beneficiary in documents before the divorce and never change the document, all those provisions would be null and void. Since you know that's true, you ask, do I still need to do new documents? It's always better to do brand new documents after the divorce. Make it perfectly clear as to what you want to do. Okay, let's go to Shirley in Sun City Center.
I have I think you could help me with this. Yesterday, I was victim of a scam. It was very cleverly done. I called Spectrum, and somehow they hacked into that account.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I was talking to Spectrum. And so I, at first, when she said she wanted my Social Security number, I said, no, I don't give that out. But then she talked to me, you know, said, don't you want this DirecTV? It's all these stations you get. And stupidly, I gave it to her. And now I'm frightened and wonder what to do.
Well, I think the best thing to do would be to get a service like LifeLock or some online service that can monitor things happening in your credit world.
Well, that's what I wondered. If I called now, I wondered if they'd take it, but it's because obviously there's going to be a problem somewhere.
Well, there could be. That's why you need somebody to monitor it. And
I know.
They have these great services like Life.
Yeah, I almost one of them. Got left like a while ago.
Yeah, that's what I would do if I were you.
Okay. And then the other question, you talked about the deeds. We have a problem going on, and it's being handled up north. I have a condo down here,
mm-hmm.
and my son asked if he couldn't invest in it, so we own it jointly. My husband's passed away, who was involved in this, and the attorneys can't seem to decide.
This property's in what state?
Michigan.
Okay.
And they can't seem to decide.
What can't they decide?
I'm sorry, what?
What can't they decide?
They can't decide who would get it when I pass away.
Ma'am, hold on. Do you have a will or a trust?
Yeah, I do. And...
Okay. Let me ask you another question, though. The deed itself, is it just in your name?
I'm not 100% sure. I think it's in the trust.
All right, but it's either in the trust, which is solely your trust,
right,
or it's just in your name.
Oh, I'm not 100%. He owns half of it. That's all I can contribute.
Okay, well, the answer would be on how it's titled on the deed. So if your name is on the deed and his name is on the deed and you think you both own half, that would be tenants in common.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But
if
both names are on the deed and there's some magic words after the two names, like joint with right of survivorship, then it would belong to the survivor. If there are no magic words on the deed, then that would be tenants in common. Then your half would be controlled by your will or trust.
Well, that's what I thought, too. But there's apparently a conflict between these two attorneys. So I just wanted to pick your brain.
All determined on how the names are on the deed.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And whether it's with right of survivorship or tenants in common.
One of them said that he'd get his half, and that the rest would go into my trust.
Yeah, well, that's probably right. That means those tenants in common, and you can put your half in your trust.
But see, the other one says that it's not that Steve gets it all.
Well, it all depends on the words
on the words
on the deed.
Right. Well, thank you very much.
All right, Charlie. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, we do have offices in Sun City Center where that call came from. And if we have offices, we have several offices in Pinellas, several in Polk, several in Pasco, several in Hillsborough County. And we have offices in Jacksonville. We have offices in Claremont, Leesburg, the Villages, offices in Lakewood Ranch, offices, again, in Pasco. So if you ever need an attorney, we don't charge anything for that first office visit for consult. 1-800 is the toll-free number, 1-800-226-3529. If you want our free estate planning poster sheet, if you want to learn a little bit about estate planning or kind of refresh yourself about estate planning or thinking about doing new estate planning, we'll be glad to mail you our estate planning poster sheet. And all you have to do is call our toll-free office number to get it. Need your name and address at 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me your name and address at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. You have a text. You can send me your name and phone number, your name and address to my text at 727-667-3967. We have about 22 minutes left in the show. If you want to call and give us a question, we'd be glad to try to answer it, or legal topic to talk about at 877 is the toll-free radio station number, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. On that last question, suppose that a lady there owned the property jointly, tenants in common, with her son, or whoever that was, and suppose her half was never put in her trust and died. Well, her half would go through probate, so it would be governed by her will. Now, if she had a trust, she probably had a will that left everything to the trust, and then the trust has the distribution language of what happens to the asset. But that would go through probate because she never would have put it in the trust. She seemed to think it was in the trust, but it doesn't automatically jump in there. Real estate doesn't automatically jump in. You have to do what's called a quitclaim deed to transfer it from her to herself as trustee of the trust. Let's go to Nancy in Sarasota. Hey, Nancy.
Hi. Okay, thanks. I just have a quick question about wills, I guess. I have a small stock account, mm-hmm. and if I were to die tomorrow, I would want my sister to have it. Is there something I can do now that wouldn't put it in her name now so she wouldn't be responsible while I'm alive?
Well, you might be able to put a beneficiary on the account. Do you have other things, though? Do you have a home? Do you have real estate?
Right now, I don't. I sold my house, but I have annuity or insurance type of an annuity account. I'm just about to do a will over, so, but I just was wondering about things like that, like a separate account, if it could. I know you can take a joint account in a bank and put two names on it.
Yeah, I wouldn't do a joint account, though, because if she got sued, divorced, or had an accident, car accident, then you could lose your account.
But I didn't want to do that or have, yeah.
Yeah, don't put her name on anything.
Right. Okay, so I could just, if I put it in my will, she'll just get the account. Would there be tax consequences?
No, because you can leave up to $11.4 million tax-free.
I think that would mean no problem for me with taxes. Okay.
Yeah, but right, you might consider a trust. You know, the two choices would be do a will or a trust. If you want to send in for that poster sheet, it kind of outlines the pluses and minuses of both.
I wrote that down. I will do that.
All right, very good.
Okay.
Thank you
for your help.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Mike in Bradenton. Hey, Mike.
Hi. How are you doing? My question is about, I'm looking at a life estate deed, and the notary is also a witness.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Also, there's a relative of the notary as a witness. Is that all fine?
Well, on a deed, the notary is notarizing your signature only.
Right.
Which is different than a will. When a notary does a will, he's notarizing the fact that the witnesses were in the presence of each other and in the presence of the person signing, so the notary can't notarize a document, a will, because then he's notarizing a family member's signature. On a deed, it's different, because the notary is just notarizing your signature, and the fact that the deed has to be witnessed by two people doesn't come into play on what the notary can and can't do, and the notary can be one of the witnesses.
And also, the second witness can be a relative
yes.
of the notary?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. But
because he's only notarizing your signature.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We have about 15, 16 minutes left in the show. If you have a legal question, the phone lines are open for you. Your question might help a lot of other people as well. So you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And again, phone lines are open. If you'd like our free estate planning poster sheet, again, we have three ways you can get it. You can call our toll-free office number, which is 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529, extension 200. The other way is to email me at joe@attypip.com, and you can text for it at 727-667-3967. If you would, you know, one of the questions that I get all the time is, are there any assets that do not go into a trust? If you have a living trust, are there some things you don't put in a trust? And, yeah, there is a list of things you don't put in a trust. You don't put automobiles in a trust. Why not? Well, automobiles don't go through probate in Florida. Usually a family member can get that transferred at Division of Motor Vehicles pretty easily. You don't put insurance, annuities, retirement accounts in a trust because they have beneficiaries. And you only do that if you want to stretch out or control the assets in the trust. You don't put insurance and annuity products in a trust, usually, unless you want to control it. Why would you want to control it? Well, you might have a spendthrift person who would spend it all immediately. You might have a person that's has an addiction problem, where you don't want to give them a big lump sum of money, and have it subject to them being able to use it for their addiction. And you don't want to give it to someone who possibly would waste it, or spend it too quickly, or is controlled by an in-law, or someone who's on special needs and government benefits that could destroy their benefits. Let's go to Loretta in St. Petersburg.
Good morning. Let's see, I have a question. I have a will. I'm trying to get some things in place. And I understood that you could leave money in the bank, your savings account, with a POD. But then I read online
that you have to be careful because there's a limit on how much that it would fall under, like a gift amount. And
no, there's no gift by naming somebody a POD.
So if I had like $25,000, mm-hmm, or $30,000 and I have three kids and I put all three as beneficiaries, then it would be divided between three children?
Yeah, but here's the situation with the paid-on-death account.
Yes.
The thing is, they wouldn't get the money. So I'm going to compare a paid-on-death account versus a living trust. So with a living trust, you become incapacitated before you die.
Yes.
Then the money in the trust can be used by the successor trustee for your benefit and a lifestyle to your custom. They can get to the money, use it for your benefit while you're living, but incapacitated.
Oh, dear. So like hospital bills and all of
that. Yeah. With the paid on death, nothing happens until you die.
Yeah.
So a living trust is far better, in my opinion, than a paid on death account.
That makes sense. Okay. But as far as a POD is concerned, there isn't a limit on, it doesn't go under gift tax.
Well, no, because you're not, a gift tax only applies if you make a gift while you're living.
Oh, okay.
And you have a $14,000 per person exemption on that.
Yeah. Okay.
Per person.
15. Is it 15 or 14?
I think it's 14, but it could have gone up to 15. But it's per person, and I always tell people to go under the amount anyway a little bit because they could also count Christmas gifts and things like that.
Yeah, I knew that. Okay, all right. So it doesn't. Until you're dead, but then they can access that money to pay off medical bills or whatever else
now,
before
you
go.
Yeah. Do you own a home?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because if you did, I would tell you that the home could go in the trust to avoid probate as well.
Yeah. Is there any way with somebody with not a lot of money, like $100,000 or $80,000 altogether, okay, is there any way you can avoid going through probate without setting up a living trust?
Well, you can have paid-on-death accounts like you've asked.
If that's only after you die, but they could take it away for medical or home care or whatever. Yeah.
Well, if you went in a nursing home, that's another question, because we could move money like a CD or money market account into what's called a personal service contract, so you would still qualify for Medicaid benefits.
Oh, okay. Oh, say that once more.
Yeah, well, if you went into a nursing home and you had $100,000 as a single person, you wouldn't qualify for Medicaid. But if we moved the money into what's called a personal service contract, you would.
Personal service contract. Mm-hmm. Is that under a living will or is that just with a will?
That's a whole separate plan for somebody that goes into a nursing home.
Oh, okay.
So
okay. Well,
you wouldn't worry about that till about 60 days out of going into the nursing home, though.
Okay. All right. I won't worry about that right now. Okay. To get that, I tried to read that poster online, but it's so small I can't read it.
Yeah, we'll be glad to send it to you.
Yeah, should I go to that number and ask for that?
Yeah, you can go to that number. You can leave a message there on extension 200 this weekend if you want to.
Okay, all right. Okay, thank you. That was one question. Thank you.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. If you have a legal question, you have about 11 minutes left in the show. Give us a call at 877-943-9673. The number to call the radio station is 877-943-9673. If you'd like that free estate planning poster sheet, you can get it one of three ways. It's a large double-sided sheet. There's five articles, estate planning articles on one side. There's comparisons and charts and just full discussion of your options. And on the other side is all of our office locations and phone numbers and radio shows we do and website and so forth. If you would like to call to get that, it's 1-800 is the toll-free number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. If you would like to email me for it, you can email me a short note with your name and address at Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y-P-I-P.com. You can text me for it, your name and address, at 727-667-3967. That's 727-667-3967. All right, phone lines are open again. And if you want to give us a call, it's 877-943-9673. Let's go to Brian, calling from Sarasota. Hey, Brian.
Hello?
Yes,
hey,
Brian.
How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Yeah, I have a question for, actually, it's for my my daughter and my ex-wife. They're living in Long Island. We went through a divorce and this and that. And anyways, she went up there and bought a house with her sister. Her credit wasn't good. We had another piece of property where her name was on it, which wouldn't allow her to, you know, get the credit. Anyways, we'll make a long story short. She gave her sister money. They bought a house. Her name is on the deed and everything, but it's not on the mortgage. And since then, her sister has passed away, and her son's, like, I think, name, a couple of sons are on the deed also, but they're not been getting along. And I told them they shouldn't have anything to worry about. I mean, her name is on the deed, the three of them, so I think that if something would happen, what's the legal ramifications or something like that?
Well, if all three names are on the deed, one person, like I think our first caller, we talked about a partition sale. So one of the three could force the sale of the property.
One of the three could. But, I mean, with her name on the deed and not on the mortgage, she's still entitled to, like, I think she put, like, $50,000 down or something. I mean, she would, that would be...
Yeah, she, if her name's on the deed, she's entitled to at least a third of it.
Right, exactly. She doesn't have to worry about this because her name's on the mortgage. She's not. I told her she's not responsible for the mortgage. I mean, that's just the house, you know.
If the place got foreclosed on, she'd be named in the foreclosure lawsuit.
Yeah. No, I don't think that'll happen. No, I think they're paying. It's just a matter of them getting. It's like a split. He lives downstairs, and they live upstairs. You know, it's just since her sister passed away, I guess it hasn't been.
Yeah, if they want to buy each other out, they can work a deal.
Yeah.
But if they don't, then one of them, and they can't work a deal, then they can do force a sale through a partition sale.
That's what I basically told her, too, but she said, no, they're going to lose everything. So that's not going to happen. I mean, you got the upper hand. You're not on the mortgage, and you're on the deed. So if they sell the house, I mean, you know. So.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you. All right. Let's go to Jack. Hey, Jack, where are you calling from?
Arbondale.
Okay. What can we do for you?
Joe, I have a relative has a will that was drawn up in Alabama. This relative has moved to Florida four and a half years ago.
Mm-hmm.
She is a legal resident of Florida now.
Okay.
I called the lawyer who drew up this will, but they have never returned my call.
Mm-hmm. This was in Alabama?
That's right.
Okay.
Is it best that I have the attorney here who is over my relative? Is it best to have them to send this attorney in Alabama a letter requesting the will to be sent down here?
Well, did the lady die that did the will?
No.
Oh,
no, she's alive and well.
Well, she's the one. The attorney's not going to deal with anyone but her.
I'm a legal guardian. Through the court.
Oh, okay, so you're going to have to prove you're a legal guardian by sending your guardianship appointment to the attorney and request the will.
Okay.
Because otherwise, they're not going to, unless you prove you're the guardian, they're not going to deal with you, or maybe even return your phone call sometimes. But they should at least return the phone call to let you know they can't talk to you, and then what they need for you to provide that they can talk to you.
Okay, is it better that I do that or my lawyer do that?
Well, either one.
Okay.
I think you could probably do it yourself. They're going to make you give them proof that you're the guardian appointed by the court, and then they should be able to, should be no problem.
Roger. I got certified copies of that. I'll do that.
All right. Very good.
Thanks, Joe.
All right. Let's go to Tom in Northport.
Yes, my question is similar to the gentleman before. It's on real estate. I want to put my brother on my deed.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best way to do that?
Generally, I would tell people not to do that because you need to get the property appraised to determine the value of the gift.
Okay.
And then if it's over the amount that you can gift, then you have to do a gift tax return.
Oh, okay.
And then the property, half of the property that you gave would not get a stepped-up cost basis at the time of your death. So the better way to do is just leave it to him in a will or a trust and not make him a co-owner now and have to go through all that.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Because real estate is the worst thing to gift, actually.
Is it? Yeah, okay.
If you're going to gift anything, give cash or something, but not real estate.
Okay.
Anything that can appreciate in value, like stocks in real estate, upon your death, get a stepped-up cost basis, so the person gets it at the new value without a capital gains tax when they sell it.
Okay.
And cash is good to gift because that doesn't apply to cash at all.
Probably trust is probably the best way to go then.
Yeah, put the real estate in a trust, and that would avoid probate. It would still get the stepped-up cost basis.
Okay, very good. Very good. Well, thank you very much. That answers my question.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We're here every week. It's from 8 to 8:52. It's a 52-minute straight run with no commercials, if you've noticed. And if you have a legal question, we have maybe 4 or 5 minutes left in the show. You could be our last caller if you call now at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. If you'd like our free estate planning poster sheet, this will be the last time I give it out today, I guess, this number. You can call our toll-free office number at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. You can, that's the radio number. The office number to get the poster sheet is 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me at joe@attypip.com, or you can text at 727-667-3967. Let's go to Diana in Sarasota. Hey, Diana.
I've got a quick question since you don't have much time left. I got advice about this when I lived in a different state, but I've moved to Sarasota recently, and I just purchased a large piece of equipment. Actually a long-arm sewing machine to train myself on to go into business in the future,
mm-hmm.
Doing quilting for. So I'm wondering how I can use that for tax purposes. Do I need to get, I got advice about this in a different state, now I've moved here. Do I need to get a business license? Did I need to have the business license before I made the purchase of the machine? How would I handle that in order that I can take it as depreciation on my taxes since I will be using it for a business?
Well, I think you can depreciate it whether you're a business or not.
Oh, great.
You could be a sole proprietor of a business and you have a fictitious name if you want.
Uh-huh.
Do the Secretary of State and it still can be depreciated.
Okay. Perfect. Well, thank you so much for your advice. That's all I needed to know. I hope you have a lovely day.
All right. Thank you. Let's try to talk to Maureen in their last minute. Hey, Maureen. Maureen, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Where are you calling from?
Bellrico, Florida.
Bellrico. We have about less than a minute. What can I do for you?
Yes, I'm in a very bad domestic situation. I'm married 40 years with my husband and they keep putting me into the asylum and jail 12 times in 13 years. And then last year puts me in jail, and I don't know what to do. I'm being abused. Nobody believes it. And I really want to get a divorce. It's been 40 years. I'm not from this ethnicity.
You definitely need a family law attorney to be your advocate in this type of situation.
Do you have any body that you can recommend?
You contact me off the air, I'll be glad to try to find someone for you.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. You've been listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We're here every week to help as many people as we can. I might be able to talk to Diana. No, I can't. There's the music. All right, Diana, tell you what. Ask the producer to give you my cell phone number. She's gone. Okay, never mind. Diana, if you want to call me, 727-667-3967. Wait wait 5 minutes or so I can get in the car. All right. You have a great Saturday. Thanks for listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We'll be back next week, the same time.